Turn with me to, we're in the book of Romans. We just finished the Gospels and Acts and Romans, and then we'll be going to these letters of the apostles that are sent ones from Christ to the church. And if you could all rise, if you're able, for the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 1. Be reading verses 16 and 17, very familiar verses. Romans chapter 1, 16 to 17. Again, after I read it, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all respond together by saying thanks be to God, and you could have your seat. Romans chapter 1. Verse 16 to 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it, which is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. One of the most important things that you need to figure out in your life, if you're young or old, is what is your standing? What is your standing before this God? Are you righteous or unrighteous? That is the most important thing that you need to figure out before you meet your God in Judgment Day. It doesn't matter what I think of you. It doesn't matter what others, people around you think of you. What matters the most important thing, is what God thinks of you and me as He looks at us beyond the surface, into our hearts. What would He find? What will be revealed? Righteous or unrighteous? That is the most important question. And that's exactly what Paul does in the book of Romans. He says in his text here, I am not ashamed of the gospel. And he tells us a snippet of what the gospel is. And he's going to flesh out in all the chapters this good news. And he starts focusing in three chapters. In explaining what this good news is by saying this good news is a righteousness of God is manifest, shown. And for three chapters, read verse 17 and then look at 18. It's kind of weird. He says 17, for in it, in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And look at the next exact verse in 18. Righteousness of God is revealed. And then 18, he says, the wrath of God is revealed. Huh? What Paul does in trying to explain the gospel, in explaining what righteousness of God is, he starts by one, three groups of humanity. Of how wrath of God is revealed. The first group of people that God shows His wrath are this group called pagan group, or the atheistic group, or the ungodly, the unrighteous. People who live and show openly unrighteous lives, ungodly lives, people who have never heard God or grew up in a godly or Christian or religious home. And they have no excuse. The wrath of God is revealed against them. We can't give the excuse that we never heard of God. Look what he says. Look at the argument he gives. The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteous of men. Well, what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived. It's clear. Ever since the creation of the world, in the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they know God. Paul says, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. And so they are also, the wrath of God will abide on them. Maybe right now you don't think you're the pagan, the ungodly. Okay? And then he moves to another group of people. Maybe a little bit closer to home for us. He moves on to the second set of people, the moral people. And there are also, the wrath of God is revealed against moral people. Because moral people have a certain set of morality. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Don't do all these bad things. And they judge other people. You know what I mean? They have their own morality. And they judge. And look at what Paul says to those kinds of people. Moral people. He says, do you suppose, oh man, you who are moral, who judge those who practice such things. So we have certain morals and we judge other people. And look what he says. He says, and yet do them yourself. You judge other people with your morality, and yet you do them. Isn't that right? We tell our kids to don't lie, and we lie. We tell our kids to don't cheat, and we cheat. And on and on and on. That you will escape the judgment of God. And so God condemns the pagan. God condemns the moral. And then he condemns the law-abiding people. And they're also without condemnation. Without condemnation is because look what they do, especially the Jews who are given the law. And there also a wrath of God is revealed on them is because, for it is not the hearers of the law, because the Jews heard the law. The law was given. It was in their family. You know, a good Jew to become an adulthood, they had to memorize the 613 laws, the first five books, by memory. It was in their tradition. It was in their family. If you ask a good Jew, what is the 398 law, and they would know it. But they heard it. They read it. It is not the hearers of the law who are righteous before God, but the doers of the law. They heard it, they had it, but they failed to do it. And so the pagans are condemned, the wrath of God is revealed. The moral people, the wrath of God is revealed. You tell other people not to do it, you judge other people by that standard, and you do the same thing. And God condemns so-called law abiders, hearers of the law. Didn't Jesus say a similar thing? Don't just hear the word, what? Do it. Don't just hear on Sunday. Hear when you go out, you must do what the Bible, God tells you. And then in chapter 3, you guys know God does a sweeping statement and he says, none is righteous. No, not one. Everyone, all humanity, the wrath of God is revealed. No one is righteous. No, not one. You know, the righteousness of God is not just a New Testament concept. The righteousness of God is rooted in the Old Testament. Look at it. Deuteronomy 6:25. Paul just didn't come up with the importance of righteousness of God. It is in the Jewish history of 5,000 years. Deuteronomy 6:25. And it will be righteousness for you if we are careful to do how many of them? All. To the letter. All these commandments before the Lord our God as he had commanded us. It was revealed, rooted in the Old Testament. And then Paul takes that word righteousness and he said, now in the gospel, in the good news, a righteousness of God is shown. And before he shows us the righteousness of God, he condemns all humanity. And look at verse Romans 3:21. Romans 3:21. After the bad news of condemnation, wrath is revealed, no one escapes this wrath. Everyone is under the umbrella of God's wrath. All of us. In verse 21, it says, but now the righteousness of God. Now, the word righteous, I've said it many times before what that means. The word righteousness is when God sees you, he looks at you, and if you're righteous in his eyes, he says, oh, I'm okay with you. I accept you. I have no problem with you. You look upright. You look straight. You are acceptable to me when I look at you. You are okay. You don't have bad breath. And he says, but now the righteousness of God has been manifested or revealed apart from the law. There's one theoretical way of God accepting you, and now there's another way. Here, 3:21. One way is for you to follow the law to the letter. 613 law. You need to obey it, all of it. And if you do, not just exterior, but from the heart,
Then the law of God will declare you righteous, acceptable, pleasing to Him.
But what's wrong with that method? What did the Israelites learn? To please God through the law, what happened? Anyone else? Did they please God through the law? No. 5,000 years of history shows they miserably failed. They could not attain righteousness before God through the law. And the Jews, their lives for 5,000 years have proved to you that you cannot be accepted by God, be righteous in His sight through the law. You can't be accepted by God through the law. You should have learned it in your history. And there's another way. Another way that you could be acceptable to God right now. At this moment, a righteousness of God has been revealed apart from the law. Although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the Old Testament people knew it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. And so I want to show you, when you have faith in Jesus, something spectacular, something real, something tangible has transpired. Let me show with Sam here, if someone could come up.
Sam represents the pagan group who are without excuse. The wrath of God is revealed to them. He also represents the moral people. Also, wrath of God is revealed to them. And he also represents who? The law-abiding people. They are also called short and condemned. Here is Jesus. There's a record. We can say it's heavy because there's a record of unrighteousness and sin in you and me. And we are guilty because the record shows it. This huge book shows the record of unrighteousness. And here is a record, a perfect record. Jesus was pleasing to God. He is a perfect Almighty. And when a sinner has faith in this perfect record in Jesus, what happens? There are two transactions that happens. It's like a switching of a bank account. When a sinner has faith in Jesus, what happens is the unrighteous record, okay? His bank account of unrighteousness, the technical word is, it is pass on this account, the bank record, and it is passed on to Christ. The unrighteousness is imputed, given, is a fact, is a reality. It's actually the transaction has really happened when a sinner has faith in Christ, the perfect man. And that's one imputation that has happened. Right, it's on your record, all of it. That's why when Sam prayed that of God forgives us our past sins, our present sins, and all the future sins because He has taken all that record upon Himself. He has been given to Him, to Christ. It's called imputation. But there's double imputation. That's one. At the same time, by faith in the righteous man, his record, his bank record of perfect righteousness is passed on to him. We switch records. And as soon as this happens, God declares the sinner, the word is justified. God declares him acceptable now forever. He doesn't become unacceptable or unrighteous when he sins. At this moment, God looks at this perfect record in his account and declares him acceptable, pleasing. The transaction has happened. We are the apple of his eye. Yes, when sometimes when the sinner takes his own record and starts doing it, okay? But that's not him. That's like you're paying rent to your old landlord. You don't have to pay your rent to the owner, but you do it anyway. And you sin. And when you do that, the sinner sees the sin, and he goes to God and repents and turns from it. And that's a lifestyle of repentance. A lifestyle of repentance. Okay.
And then what at that moment, when you have faith in Christ Jesus, and that transaction has happened, you, from now on, are going to live a different life. Not because you have to, you want to. You see, faith in Christ Jesus shows your need of Christ's righteousness. If you take Christ's righteousness,
that is another gospel. You take this and you say, oh, I'm going to do other things. Please, God, it's acceptable to God. That is called semi-Pelagianism. It is a heresy. It's further from what the gospel is. You are accepted by God on the sole basis of Christ's perfect record. Don't try to add anything. Your own righteousness and combine it. Catholics believe Christ and their good work.
And I think some of you might not, like, in your head, you might understand this, but in your lifestyle, in the way you live, you try to please God with your works. You stand on God. You try to please God by your righteousness. You know what our righteousness is? If you stand on Christ's perfect record and yours, that is not what Paul says is the good news. That is a bad news. Don't do that. You have to preach this truth, this righteousness that comes through faith in Jesus Christ all the time. You need to preach it. But we tend to go into this sinful way of trying to please God through our own. I try to do it all the time. I need to stand on this every day. Preach this truth. Every week, every month. We are accepted by God not by our own righteousness. We are accepted by God through a righteousness, a foreign righteousness that comes through faith in the perfect Son. Amen. You who are guilty before God when this transaction happened are declared not guilty before God. You're not guilty. I know Satan's going to give you, if you're a true Christian and this transaction has happened, instantaneously it has happened. What Satan's going to do, if you're not grounded in this, in Christ's righteousness for your acceptance in God's sight, what Satan's going to do, he's going to lie to you. He's going to bring back old sins, past sins, present and future sins to make you feel guilty before Him. He does all kinds of subtle lies to us, especially here. You who are unacceptable to God are now declared once and for all acceptable to God. If you are here, standing before God, that your righteousness of God is through faith in Him, now you are acceptable to God once and for all. You who are unrighteous, sinner, unholy, become righteous and holy, declarative. You're not practically inside holy. God's going to work on that. He will. He will show to you the unholy things. Listen to Him. Listen to Him. He's going to show it in the Bible. He's going to show it with godly brothers and sisters who will tell you because they care for you. Stop listening to that. Stop doing that. It's going to get you further away from God, not closer to Him. Don't play with that. Don't waste your time in that. Good night. You know, you guys are probably sick of my personal testimony, but let me give you another snapshot. All my life, remember, I was trying to, I didn't believe in Jesus or, you know, all this righteousness. I didn't care about all these things. I was trying to build my reputation, my life through education, my grades, and my looks. And Satan was behind the whole thing. My early years, junior high, high school, he was grooming me, you know. He was grooming me to get somewhere high in place in this world. And then what's going to happen? There's going to be a time when it's all about me, and I was going to go like this. I could actually even feel it. I was going to go down. I was going to fall really far. I was going to fail. And I could feel it. I was trying to keep up this reputation, this prestige, this status that I want other people to look at, okay? Through grace, through other things, you know, sports. And when I got to college, my freshman year, I got converted. All these years, I was building my life on quicksand. I didn't know that. Satan was grooming me in quicksand. I didn't even know. By God's grace, I was saved my end of the year, my freshman year. And my life from quicksand, okay, building my life in this worldly, you know, pursuit, the riches and the accolades and the status, what other people think about me. And God transferred me from quicksand into a life that was dedicated, founded upon God. I finally knew the purpose of my life. All the thing I was, this was my purpose. Now my purpose was God. He showed it to me by faith. And then in my sophomore year, there was a big huge crash. If I didn't have that foundation of God living for my life for God, and I was so in quicksand, and I made that huge fall in my sophomore year, who knows where I'd be right now? I was in deep. My foundation was on me. And it was on shaky ground. It was on quicksand. Satan knew what it was. And I'm not going to blame Satan. It was my fault because I was following his life. And when he did that, end of my freshman year, standing upon what my life was now, it's upon God, to know God. Yeah, I studied. Not quit, you know, and be a monk. But I knew that that wasn't my purpose anymore. It wasn't the job anymore. It wasn't even the education anymore. It wasn't the sports anymore. I still enjoy all those things. But my goal, my passion, my desire changed from that to God now. To know God. I needed that right there. God had mercy on me. So that when I crashed, yes, it wasn't fun. Yeah, I had to change my major. You know? Yeah, I thought I'm not as smart as I made out to other people. I was living a lie. And trying to keep that lie, keep it going, you know? Until it crashed. And I crashed on God. There was no one there to help me. No one. At that moment, because I lived a very secret life. And people knew me, but not really. I was around people, but they didn't really know me. And God had mercy on me. And when I crashed, I fell upon God. And the crash was bad, but I knew that this wasn't my hope anymore. Now God was. Picked myself up. And kept learning this new life that I had in God. What mercy that he had on me. On the outside, I felt like I had it all together. But in the inside, I was in darkness. I was completely lost. All the fruits of the root, the landfill, the junk, came out in different ways. Listening to trash. Trash music. I didn't know I was even eating trash and listening to trash. But now I knew. I was like, oh, eating trash, it tastes okay. What? I woke up. I'm not going to eat trash anymore. I'm not going to listen to trash anymore. I'm going to listen to things that is going to encourage and alive in my new life in God now. My spiritual life. I'm not dead in it. And my life started to change month by month, year by year. And I've been a Christian how many years now? Over 20 years. And there's still stuff in my life. Okay? That needs to get out. That needs to change. I'm grabbing hold onto some of the sinful habits that I've been doing and engraved into my computer, my chip. And God is... You and I are a work in progress. There's many things in my life that needs fixing. Unrighteousness. Unholiness. But I know that I am accepted by God. I am. Because I am constantly telling myself, preaching this truth to myself, that I am accepted by God on the sole basis of standing on Christ's righteousness. This is my record. This is who I am. And day by day, God is conforming me on the outside and the inside to this record. This record. And I want to cooperate with Him. He's trying to help me be like Christ. Why would I resist that? Why would I fight that? It's so foolish. And yet we do. And when we do, especially his accept as son or daughter. We already read it in the process and many other places. He's going to discipline us because he cares for us. He accepted us. We're his family now. He is disappointed with you and me. Even though we are living on the basis of his righteous and accepted, you know, kids, right? Children in the family do dumb things, stupid things, things that they shouldn't be doing. Okay. And so when that happens and we keep doing it and not listening to the prompting of the Spirit of God to stop this sin, he's going to discipline us. He's going to chastise us. He is disappointed. He is angry. Not the wrath of God, but he is angry with us to live in the darkness, in the unrighteousness. And God has ways of dealing with that, with his son and daughter, that he will get your attention. He's very wise. He knows how to get the attention of his children. When his children keep rebelling and not listening to him. And so those who are imperfect are now accounted perfect. You who are not pleasing to God now is pleasing to God. Let me read you Philippians, same idea, Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. This is Paul's confession of his life, his resume. Look at his resume. Look at what his hope of his life is. Not his accomplishments in life. Look at what he boasts in. Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. Not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God, the light that depends on faith. Amen. Amen. We are acceptable, justified on the basis of Christ's righteousness by faith in his perfect record imputed to you. Let's pray. Lord, you who knew no sin became sin. You took on our unrighteous wrathful record. You who knew no sin became sin so that we, your sons and daughters, who put their faith not upon their own righteousness, but put their faith in the righteousness of God that's been manifested through faith alone, through grace alone, to the righteousness of Christ alone. Father in heaven, may your sons and daughters stand every day on this truth. May we preach this truth constantly to ourselves, to our children, to others that are around us that we care for. May you saturate this church, your people, with this truth standing upon this truth, believing in this truth. Make this truth go deep into our lives. So we will breathe it. We will eat of it. We will walk in it, in this light, in this righteousness that's been manifested from the beginning of time till now. Oh Lord, help us. May we walk in this light, I pray. Help us as we sing this next song, oh Lord. May we worship you of this righteousness that has been manifested, revealed. Oh, how much you love us, those who have tasted this precious gift. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ.